If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, big evening. We're recording this in anticipation of Andrea Bocelli at the Chase Center.
Ooh. Are you guys going?
No. What's up?
Why not? Come on, man. The blind tenor.
I mean, look, vocal talent is vocal talent, but I think it's outside of our price range.
If he wasn't blind, would we care as much?
I don't even know who that guy is. I had to look him up before to figure. Come on. Hey, look.
There's like only one famous opera singer in the world. I don't know.
Well, that's not true.
Okay. Well,
I didn't even know there were famous operas. I mean, I saw one at White Lotus. Looked like they went to an opera thing in Sicily. So there was that. Is that guy?
I don't know what that is.
I don't.
No, White Lotus is a show. I actually haven't started season two yet, Andy. Don't spoil for me.
Okay.
It's on my weekend agenda. Might even get to it on a Thursday night since there's no Warriors basketball. But that voice you're hearing, special guest, Dave Dufour from The Athletic. Dave, how you doing, my man?
You know what, man? I'm good. That's the most basic response.
You're like the Warriors. You're good. You're
fine. Well, okay. I think I'm better.
You're a 500 team.
Yeah.
But you've been feeling better since the first 10 games have gotten under your belt.
Oh, 100%. Wow, man. Yes. Well, I have a really young center that I sent down to the G League and it instantly got better.
Less than two minutes into the show. Modern life
is unforgiving, Dave.
Hey, listen, I mean, and I'm just teasing. I think that he's fine for a guy that's played like 15 games of basketball, right? Like in 4 years or whatever it's been. So,
yeah.
I think, man, the Warriors look great. So, and I always love when that's happening.
Yeah. Steve Kerr at today's media availability kind of mentioned that, he basically made it sound like Wiseman's not coming back anytime soon. You know,
he's
learning what he needs to learn. And a lot of just kind of vague read between the lines language, you know, just stay like, there's no point in Steve killing him publicly. So it was just kind of the standard coach.
My thing is if he was good enough to come back, he'd be back. I mean, the Warriors could use another guy. Like if he was good enough to play NBA basketball, he'd be on the team playing basketball right now. So it's very simple. And this is an absurd quote, by the way.
From CJ Holmes, Steve Kerr on James Wiseman's role. Whenever he returns to our big club, the NBA has a way of sorting things out. It almost feels like a threat.
What does that even mean?
He's going to make him an offer he can't refuse. That's the next line to come out. I mean, exactly. He's right, though. There's nothing wrong with this quote. This is how it works. I mean, it's a meritocracy, at least theoretically. The Bronny James thing may change that. But I just think that ultimately, if he was better, he would be up there getting minutes because he was getting minutes. They gifted him. I mean, I'm not going to say gifted because you've got to try it. They did give him minutes.
Number two pick, third year. Yeah.
You
got to see what you have on some level.
But this is where the G League, and frankly, you almost do him a disservice by not just starting him out in the G League when he's home. Like, let him get those reps and get all that shit out of his system where the stakes are lower. and the spotlight isn't as bright. And so, you know, again, man, like I trust the organization. I trust Steve Kerr. I mean, they've got the track record. And I don't mean the development track record. I mean the success track record. Because right. ultimately, it's not about whether James Wiseman is good or not. That the organization doesn't really care about that. They care about winning titles, which they keep doing, right? So, you know, Wiseman potentially being a bust, okay, that's fine for this team in particular because they can withstand that. They can have that bust because they have Steph Curry, you know?
And, yeah, it's...
It doesn't matter.
It's like, so you don't get the dream scenario of drafting your replacement to Steph, such as life, you know? You're still in a pretty good spot. I don't know. My only read
they might
on
have, it, right? Like the thing is they've got these other guys. And so like, right. this is where they have done a good job. I mean, I think mm-hmm. Jordan Poole is a success. They sent him to the G League. That guy was awful before he went to the G League. Right.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Kuminga is a success. Look, I mean, he looked great. I thought he looked amazing guarding Luka the other night, which is yeah. funny to say, but I thought he did a really good job like of showing.
He's buying into his role. And like, I mean, he's,
Kerr left him out there too. So like there, trust is a two-way street. And I think that they offered Wiseman the trust to play. He just wasn't good enough. And now they're doing what they probably should have done in the first place, which is start him out in the G League and build the confidence up.
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real.
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
So I feel like this is a perfect segue to kind of the reason I wanted to have you on. You know, Andy and I, we're in the weeds of everything Warriors. Sometimes it's nice to, you know, come up for a breath of air and talk to someone who's got kind of a more national perspective and, you know, isn't in the weeds of every detail here. So as you said, the Warriors, they're 500 right now, but in their last 12 games, 8-4, 8-3 in the games where the starters play, really kind of have looked like the Warriors. Now, what I find interesting is that 3-7 start felt like they were burying themselves a massive hole. And they did to a degree, but the West is so jumbled. When I look at this, I'm not that concerned about the Warriors' ability to, you know, not end up in the play-in or, you know, any of the situations where you're kind of like, oh man, that 3-7 start really cost you. I'm pulling up the standings right now just so yeah. we can all look at it.
I was going to say, it's the weirdest. So close.
It's the weirdest year I've seen in the West so far where it's like, I don't know, the Lakers are 8-12. And like, honestly, they're like a good week away from being back in the playoffs again. Like everyone's somewhere between 3-12 in the standings right now.
I mean, the Warriors, this is a team that could run off 10 straight and be in first place. I'm just like, I was never really worried about the team in the first place. The starters all looked good, just like they did in June. Right. Everything for them was still clicking. Like after the first night, I was like, oh, okay. So Steph looks great. Clay still looks rusty, which now, you know, a couple months later, Clay's looking much better.
Looks like Clay.
And it looked like they were really trying to just force feed other things, which is what a luxury, you know, for this team. They were trying to force feed Wiseman. They were trying to force feed Jordan Poole on the ball as a way to get offense and make it easier so they could save some of these Draymond minutes that we're seeing now, right? Where Draymond's out there with Jordan Poole. Like, organizationally, they were aligned, and I think their plan was not a bad one. It's just that Wiseman wasn't good enough, so you couldn't get Poole going in the pick and roll. And so then that sort of cascades from there, and you had a little bit of mopiness maybe from Kuminga. And you can see, like, okay, well, it really hinged on this one thing being successful, and it wasn't. But they pivoted so fast that really they were able to just try this shit out. It failed. And they're not really any worse for wear because they're only 4.5 games back from Phoenix. So, I mean, I don't know. They're going to be a home court advantage team in the West, I expect.
What do you make of the West being so just, I don't want to say mediocre, but just like everyone looks like they're a 47 win team.
Well, everybody's feeling their way back, right? So, yeah. So Phoenix is funny. Phoenix looks exactly like they did to me last year. There are some wrinkles that are different, but this is a regular season team. They're a, you know, we talked about this on the Nerder that's coming out tomorrow. They are kind of in the position where the Bucks used to be, where it was like, all right, you need to show us in the playoffs, because I know that this is a really good team, but you know, what we've seen in the playoffs, I don't know. I don't see anything that's necessarily going to be different. Denver. I mean, I'm just going down the list here. Denver,
classic Chris Paul team,
right? Yeah, there you go. Denver reintegrating Jamal Murray, trying to get him back up to speed. Like, again, another team, they were very much force feeding, trying to get Jamal sped up. I mean, this is like where their offense was a little clunky. That was part of it. Now I think they've got the third best offense in the league, like 116 offensive rating or something. The Pelicans, again, trying to figure out the Zion thing. They lost Brandon Ingram for a little while. Memphis hadn't had Jaren, and now they've lost Desmond Bane. I mean, you could literally go down the list for every team except for the Kings, who are just playing out of their, like, as
God,
to their full potential. That's a perfect Mike Brown team. Utah played above themselves, but that's a solid team if you go down the list, but they're playing above themselves. Golden State, we just mentioned why they underperformed. Minnesota, we don't know if they're underperforming or not, but I bet they go better on a little run.
I bet they
go on a run now.
Yeah.
Portland's outplayed themselves. Dallas, to me, they're about a 500 team because they're short a guy, losing Brunson. Oklahoma City, this is about what they are. The Lakers, I think that this is about what they are. San Antonio, they're way worse than their record shows. And same with Houston, right? So you can go down and it's like, oh no, it makes sense given the context of how many teams are not only fighting injuries this season, but reintegrating big pieces this year. You know, Phoenix, it makes sense to me that they're so good right now.
When I look at these standings, I'm already switching over to the playoffs because I'm with you, right? We assume that the Warriors, four seed, you know, maybe three seed, four seed worse. I mean, maybe five seed, I guess. I'm looking at these teams and thinking which ones are going to be the ones that are going to be the scariest for the Warriors come postseason. I'm with Sam. I'm with you if you're saying the Phoenix is a regular season team. But does Denver, New Orleans, and Memphis figure it out the next 60 games? And by figure it, I mean do their young guys become superstars? Because that for them, that's like we don't know. How good John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson are going to be. Like, are those guys championship players? We have no idea. Same with Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., no idea. And same with Zion and Brent Ingram. We have no idea if those guys are championship playoff players. We have no idea. So I think those are the three teams that I'm most fascinated about to see how far they get. Because, I mean, the Clippers is the – look, I think Kawhi's done. So, like, I'm not really worried about the – and then Phoenix is like, how many times do we have to fucking talk about this shit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't need to hear this. So – and then everyone else, negligible, right? So – to me, that's how I feel.
I don't disagree with the
Kawhi stuff. You got
well the Kawhi thing. Well, no, I mean, I don't have to stay out of that. I mean, I pride myself on not getting too hot in my takes, to be honest with you. But
get hotter.
It's reasonable to just say,
yeah,
at this point, oh shit, Kawhi doesn't look great. Well, part of it is Kawhi's not playing. But when Kawhi's played, I think he's looked here and there looked okay. And you can see, okay, well, in a couple months, maybe he'll be back. I don't know, though. But I don't trust the Clippers for other reasons.
What are those other reasons?
Well, they don't run an offense. And then their two best players are, you know, unreliable as far as just being available. So, you know, you couple those together, you just don't have system buckets when those guys aren't out there. Every bucket they get is tough. It's like, wow, they've got some really great tough shot makers. That's a bad bet in the playoffs, though. And so, you know, when I'm thinking about Denver, New Orleans, Memphis, I mean, I'm right there with you, Andy. I think Memphis showed me a lot last year. And I think that they've got a little bit more in the tank. There's going to be more Desmond Bane. I mean, this is why I argued that the Warriors should have taken him second instead of James Wiseman, because his playmaking. Yeah, that was like, I mean, I was like a little bit facetious. They could have traded down, but right. I felt like Desmond Bane would have been perfect there. But you can see more of that on ball stuff this season. So, you know, early on in the season, I think that that's going to be big for them in the playoffs, having two dynamic, you know, guys on the ball, but especially with the way Bane shoots it, they are going to be big time trouble. New Orleans need to see it. you know, and need to see it further with all of their pieces. Not really feeling Valanciunas right now, to be honest with you. Like Steven Adams really exposes him. And then Denver, I mean, I think Jokic gives you a chance in any series if you have, you know, anybody else around him. So if Murray bounces back and MPJ can stay healthy, the Nuggets are trouble for any team because you can give the ball to Jokic and he's going to get buckets no matter what. Like, and especially against the Warriors, man, like Looney has done okay against them, but I wouldn't want to just say, okay, we're going to flood Jokic with Looney and then probably have to bring help with Wiggins and Draymond, because all of a sudden you get Jamal Murray hot. And that guy, I mean, he's just, it's like Steph when he gets hot. So I'm kind of with you. I think I would go Memphis and maybe then Denver as far as my fear level right now. But I think Denver can look better by the time we get there. They've got a high ceiling.
Yeah, they just
need to see them get healthier. Yeah.
I feel like I think I'm with you on Memphis. I wanted to take another team before the season started as being kind of the best contender in the West. I was very high on Minnesota. That was a mistake.
So was I.
I also thought Anthony Edwards would take kind of the John Morant leap this year, and maybe it's coming, but it definitely didn't the first 20 games.
Well, now that Cat's out, I actually think you're going to start seeing it. And that
he
already had more space.
I was going to say he looked so much happier playing yesterday, and like it's funny.
I don't understand that. Can we talk about that as an organization? Just is your best player is Anthony Edwards? So why? Why make that move? I know I'm not a front office guy. I would never pretend. Why does that make sense to make the life of your best player harder? And not just your best player, but he's the face of your franchise. It makes his life harder. Exactly.
Just making Ant's life harder. The Cat Rudy, it's the too big thing. Like it's not a, you know, it's not a great fit.
If they had Chris Paul,
in their defense. I understand what they're going for. Look, it's a too big league now. It's back.
Draymond and Looney, baby.
I would make an argument it never went away. It's just that you need skilled bigs, right? And so Cat being a skilled big should allow you to play two bigs. I mean, offensively, he should be on the perimeter. Like, I mean, he's a killer on the perimeter anyway.
Yes, he lets everyone know he's the greatest shooting big of all time.
Well, and he's not. He may be the most prolific until they, you know, Jaren Jackson gets another year or two under his belt, and then we can just.
I mean, he can legitimately shoot it. No one's disputing that.
Right. But he also can put it on the floor. And so, like, you know, Rudy Gobert on offense is good at two things, right? He's good at screening and he's good at offensive rebounding. And so to me, I look at that team and I wonder, I mean, Rudy Gobert only had one rebound last night. And part of that is, you know, they gang him up, you know, they keep him off the glass, but still, I mean, you know, you need a little bit more effort. So some of this is on Rudy, but I just don't get why, like, you know, why aren't there some Cat Rudy pick and roll? Now I know Rudy can't really catch the ball when he's moving and that's a problem, you know, especially for a guy who's supposed to be a dive man, but I don't know. I just think that it can be a little bit more creative, but without Cat out there, they can play with another wing. They could play with, I mean, you know, Naz Reid minutes are going to be huge and everybody's going to be calling for him to get more minutes even when Cat comes back. But they can play with another wing and open up that space. And I think some spread pick and roll for Anthony Edwards we're going to start seeing a guy that looks like he's taking steps forward. Maybe not elite, but steps forward. I mean, and I thought that first game, you saw it on both ends from him. I mean, he had steals, he had blocks, he was all over the place defensively.
Very energetic.
And controlling the pace on offense, including setting Rudy up for a couple of lobs, one of which he blew, but he almost blew the next one, but he got it. So,
yeah, I'll give you, here's my conspiracy theory on the Wolves, weird roster construction. I think they want to trade Cat. I think they just saw Gobert as like, look, man, I don't think this is the final version of this team. We just have an opportunity to add a three-time defensive player of the year. And then, you know, we'll say we're committed to this, but really we're looking to move Cat for higher level kind of wing pieces. And then, you know, D'Lo is going to expire. And then that's our team. Anthony Edwards, the best wings we can get, and Rudy Gobert. And it's not a bad idea if they can get there. That's what I think they wanted to do. But that's
Carl Anthony Towns seem like a winning player to you?
No.
Right.
I think we've hit a certain point where it's, you kind of have to call it how it is with him until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Last playoffs was really bad for him too. It's like, you're the franchise guy, but they're pulling you off the floor. Like, then we have to have a conversation.
He tries too hard. It seems like he's mentally just not there.
Yeah, it's not
like
a skill level thing.
Yeah, it's like you're either trying too hard on one end, trying to do too much, or then you're just not smart enough. It's just, yeah. And the other thing with Anthony Edwards too, it's like, I watch him and I don't think he's like this incredible high IQ superstar player. Like, I don't get that from Anthony. The talent's there, the scoring's there, the athleticism, all that is there, but I don't get this. Like Jason Tatum is a guy that I watch and I'm like, yeah, he's smart. He makes the right plays, can shoot, gets his teammates involved. I don't really get that from Anthony Edwards. So he's young, but like, I don't like Jason Tatum's probably maybe his ceiling. I just don't think he's that guy.
If I can defend Anthony Edwards, just, I mean, even though I know it's not an attack, I will say this. This is year three for him.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah. And one of those years was weird. He plays with D'Angelo Russell in the backcourt. So yeah, it's tough, man. Like, you know, so defenses load up on him. And it is just different. Now, I will admit, I've been disappointed in his start to the season. So I'm excited to see what it looks like without Cat out there, because I do think that that's a big deal. You know, that space is not quite the same when Cat's out there. And it ought to be. It should be better, theoretically, because Cat is a talented offensive player. But they've also got, you know, their defense hasn't really been good. And I just can't believe that's possible.
That's a bigger issue with two bigs. Yeah, but I mean,
but they're going to be better now.
Cat and Rudy is so slow. Like, the Warriors-Wolves game was probably the best example of that, where Draymond is just taking it coast to coast every time. And
God,
he's looked amazing. That's another conversation. But it was just basically, it's like, you can't keep up with me. I'm just gonna go coast to coast layup drill on you.
I don't know, over and over again. I don't know what it must have been like to get laughed at on a basketball court, man. Like, I just... Wow. Yeah, that was a demoralizing game.
Yeah.
If I was Minnesota.
And we know Draymond takes that seriously. We know it makes him feel a certain way that Rudy has three and he only has one defensive player of the year. And I get it. And you know what? You got to find reasons to kind of dig in to get your intensity on like a late November game. But man, he takes those personally.
I guess I don't watch Rudy.
Year to year awards, man, they miss the forest for the trees.
Sure.
That's the thing. It's like, if Stephen Curry has been the best player of his generation.
Correct.
Me. I mean, that's it.
Wow.
I think he's, well, I said on Thinking Basketball, yeah, he's the best player of all time. And I'll make that argument, but
that's why
he's got two MVPs.
Yeah. Cause it's, you're right. There's like the fatigue thing. It's like
year to year.
It's like the Jordan thing. We saw in the 90s, Jordan won a bunch of MVPs. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, who's the best player this year, not named Michael Jordan, though, because we're tired of giving him that many MVPs. Wait,
I want to hear the argument.
Well, I mean, my argument is just that he's the best player ever. I mean,
he's
look at what he has done in objectively the most skilled, and, you know, like, there's more money in basketball. There's just, it's harder to be Steph Curry to me than it was to be Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan was a standout in his time, but basketball wasn't nearly as competitive as it is now. I just think Steph Curry is doing it it's a higher level, higher degree of difficulty. I don't care. Like, I also don't care as much about the longevity of career or whatever, but at this point, that's not even an argument, because I think right. Steph has done this long enough. And so I don't have, you know, any sort of rubric, because I'm not that guy. I'm not sitting around, you know, looking at box scores, trying to figure this out. No, but, and also this is very much a gut and feel thing, but yeah, sure. I mean, I think Steph Curry is the greatest of all time.
Wow.
I'm done saying he's top 10.
You're getting at something I've been kind of arguing for a while, which is like, we do this thing where we don't think the game evolves for the better.
Right.
Like, and so Steph has basically made it impossible for a big to be a first option and win a title against the Warriors. You just can't do it. So
Nikola Jokic might be that problem, by the way. He might
have
run.
Jokic might have a claim to be better than like half of the bigs who we talk about as like greatest of all time. But
same with Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. I would make Casey Giannis is the best big of all time just because he can actually guard the perimeter, and I don't know that Kareem could. I don't know that, you know, like those guys could. But that's my point is whenever you make those cases, you have to kind of make the argument, okay, if they're matched up in some sort of mythical game, what is it? What does it look like? And like when I see people say someone like Kareem's the greatest of all time, Kareem was great for his era and he's a legend and everything. But what does he do in an era where he has to guard 35 feet out? Because Steph can still shoot from 35 feet in his era, but can Kareem guard in that much space? And
although Steph is, if he's shooting pre 3-point line, that shot's a bad shot, right?
True. Yeah.
I mean, look, man, again, I don't deal in the whole era discussion. So I'm able to flippantly say that Steph Curry is the greatest of all time because it doesn't matter. Now, Ben Taylor, on the other hand, he's got a process. I think he disagrees with me, but he let me say it on his podcast.
I mean, most people would probably disagree with you. I wouldn't because I didn't watch Michael Jordan. Yeah. So I don't care. And also, I don't care. Who cares?
With germ theory when it came out, man, I'll be on the right side of history here.
I think one thing's interesting you bring. I want to talk about this more. Regular season versus postseason, two completely different sports in basketball, and why the awards kind of don't make sense is, which is why we make fun of the Suns, because what we watch today in November is totally non-existent by the time April comes around. It's a basketball issue. It's a too many games issue. It happens in baseball too. It's totally different. It doesn't happen in football, obviously, because every week is the playoffs in football. So yeah, I find that one interesting. That's probably why Rudy Gobert has X amount of, you know, DPOIs and Draymond only has one, because you know, no sane person in history. No sane person in history watches playoff basketball in the postseason and watches Draymond play defense and watches Rudy Gobert play defense and tell you with a straight face.
And then there's
why is his suit like his suit is that shimmering?
It's a great suit.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted to see Andy make fun of Rudy Gobert while looking at him wear a suit. Where I know Andy's mind is, I want that suit.
Andy has that suit. I mean, look. The Draymond Rudy thing is funny because like both can be true. I think Rudy Gobert is a generational
rim protecting
center, but Draymond Green is probably the greatest defender in NBA history. And that's different. And it's just like Draymond Green changed and defined the era of basketball that he plays in. Teams were just tearing themselves apart trying to find a small ball center because they thought that's what it was. It was just a short guy playing center.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just Draymond Green's existence.
A lot of tweeners saw their draft stock jump up 20 spots because of Draymond.
Yeah. Robert Covington has made a career.
Oh, my God. I was just about to say, Rob, I didn't want to cut you off, but that's the guy.
He's fine.
I can't stand it. He is.
He's
fine.
He's totally fine.
But I can't stand Robert Covington.
No, you can't stand think pieces. It's like, oh, if they add Covington, it's over for the Warriors. It's over.
Use your eyes.
I'm 17 times. Oh. Robert Covington's only been in the league 10 years or 8 years or whatever. And we've had that piece 10 times. So
how many times do I have to hear DeAndre Ayton be like, oh, he's going to be too big. And then
Hold on now. Now Ayton might be the guy, man.
Him doing military press in a towel?
Oh no, you're serious, Dave?
I've disqualified him
because he did it in a towel.
Yeah,
just too much.
Too much dip on his ship.
I'm not buying him. But then again, you said it. I need to see them actually do it in the playoffs after last year. They're officially on fraud watch at all times for me until they prove it. You know, it's like how I felt about the Donovan Mitchell Gobert Jazz. They were fun until I was like, all right, you're either going to take a step or this is just who you are.
I mean, yeah, basically. But the Suns are like a high level version of that. Like if they make the Western Conference Finals, which should be a successful season. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just going to say that straight up. If they get to the conference finals, man, what a great season for them. But I would be shocked if they got out of there right now because I just haven't seen anything different. You know, Jacques Landale is really interesting, but, you know, not that interesting.
That's not the piece that they were missing to get him over the top.
No. Yeah, that's like you telling me, oh man, we get this great middle relief guy. Okay, yeah. Cool. Who's hitting home runs for you? And Devin Booker, like Devin Booker's a home run hitter.
He is better. He is getting better. I was thinking about it. I was like, he might be the best guard in the league after Steph and Luka. He might be there. Mm-hmm. He just subtly keeps getting better. And obviously it's easy to say the night after he goes for 51 that he looks great.
He competes though, man. Like he competes now in a way, and maybe he did when I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he did compete the same way when the team was bad, mm-hmm. but he's better now. And so the way he competes is smarter. And I mean, especially defensively, he doesn't get enough credit for the way he fights. I mean, the guy is, he's kind of skinny, but he holds his own, man. Like he's got to be stronger than he looks. I do respect
the way he goes about his business. Like he plays the game very honestly, tries to play team ball on both ends, and good guy to have on your team. I wanted to, before we get out of here, I think the two best teams or the two biggest concerns for the Warriors are obviously out East, Milwaukee and Boston.
They are the probably two best teams.
Yeah. So my question's simple. The Warriors lost GP2 and Otto Porter. Those were key players in the rotation last year. Dante is filling one of those roles. We'll see if he can fill it as well as either of those guys did. Kuminga is coming around. But the general question, do you think the Warriors have enough right now to hang with either of those teams? Or do they feel like a team who should be nosing around for another rotation player midseason? You know,
I mean, they definitely could use another guy. Mm-hmm. I want to see more Moses Moody. You know, some of the stuff that we saw to him was so promising. Yeah. And I really that's been weird to me. And I don't know what the reason is there.
Seems like it's just a numbers game at the position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's going to shake itself out. I think he's going to wind up, you're going to get to a point where he is going to get more minutes one way or the other. You know, Jamichael Green was a guy that I know that they had high hopes for, but this kind of, you know, he fits well, but there is a pretty low ceiling on Jamichael Green out there. But I just don't know who else you can
get. He's not Otto Porter in this Warrior system. He's more of just one of their quintessential goon five men.
Yeah.
He does that well. I'll give him that. He is good at that.
Better than James Michael McAdoo, right? Like, I mean, Lamb has been a nice story, but Lamb is a guy that, if you're playing him in May, you fucked up.
Oh,
right? He reminds me of like JTA, like great found money to help you get through the regular season.
Yeah.
He better not be in your eight man rotation.
And when he's starting for the Lakers next year, we can all laugh, right? Like, it'd be perfect. So, it's just, who are they going to get? Right. Like they just don't have a lot of tools at their disposal. Wiseman, you know, like, God, what's his value? Like
everything comes back.
it's Wiseman and a pick for a team that wants to get Victor Wembanyama is like the thing. So can the Bulls keep losing? The Warriors play the Bulls next. Can they look at Caruso? I mean, that's the guy that everyone would love.
Caruso would be so good.
That's what everyone.
PJ Washington.
Yeah, PJ Washington would be great because, I mean, God, he could play with Draymond and Wiggins out there. And that would
shooter.
I'm looking, man. I mean, my personal opinion is I'm looking for a guy who can play the role that Otto played, which is like for the Warriors, it's a big who can play next to Looney and Draymond. So whether you want to go that way, probably someone who can shoot a little bit and someone who allows you to play Kuminga on the perimeter defensively, which is clearly where his best value is. Like
I got a guy. Oh. I got a guy.
Who's that?
Plays with Steph's brother. It's pretty good.
Kevin Durant.
You think he could play the stretch four role?
The problem is you can't trade Wiggins. Like Wiggins is too good. Right?
No.
Trade Klay
at this point.
He's a
core player. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is like a borderline All NBA guy.
Well, you can't trade Andrew Wiggins for respect and just kind of. You know, he signed an under
also
deal.
You trade him, you've just opened a bigger hole. Like, okay, now who's our starting three?
Right.
So that's not in the cards.
I trade Wiggins for him,
but you can't do that.
I wouldn't trade Wiggins for anything.
Oh, we're talking about KD.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade him for KD either because I think the Wiggins personality fit matters so much for this team.
Wiggins,
right?
Awesome.
He's a shutdown.
I'm kind of into repeating the whole 16-19 thing. You know, we go through the honeymoon phase, and then. And then by 2024, Andy and I are going to be just, you know, you're going to hear it on our voices every week is dramatic.
You guys just want to run KD out of town again? Is that it?
It's something about like the Warriors winning every game by 25 and being unhappy. It really makes you feel alive. You know what I mean? It's what the KD Warriors do to you. You never lose.
I'll start texting you, Ethan.
Well, it's like cheating,
Ethan, don't you want to get back on the beat? Get back on the beat, buddy.
It's like if you're playing a video game and you put it on easy mode, you can't be proud of winning, right? I get it. I understand it. You know, it creates an existential crisis. Is this all there is? Am I just going to win whether I show up or not? Minimal effort?
By the way, that's for sure what KD was like talking about with Kyrie.
It probably hurt his basketball, like, you know, like just – being a competitor, right? Like if your team is too stacked and you just win every game, I don't know if that'd be fun. I kind of like, understand it.
Kevin, how did you not know that? You were coming to a team that was the best team of all time. How did you not know that?
I mean, maybe you don't know how you're going to feel in the moment, right? Like these super teams seem like a good idea. And then, you know, when they do work out, you're not happy. When they don't work out, you're not happy. I mean, I just don't know. Maybe it just, KD needs to just be KD and some role players
and
win a title.
It's what he's got now.
if they came out of the East, would you be shocked?
I would.
I would be all right. Shocked is the wrong word.
This roster,
if they came out of the East because of KD, would you be like, oh yeah, KD's that guy?
Let me put it this way. KD is good enough to be the best player on a team that comes out of the East. That team will not be the currently constructed Brooklyn Nets roster. I'm just going to put that out there. Like, is there a world in which they somehow flip one of, or like three of their 16
Trade Chris
shooters?
Middleton for KD and just have the Bucks win the title.
Oh my God, the Bucks will win 80 games. Well, the thing about the Nets is, they kind of do want to copy the Warriors a little bit. Now I just realize it's so funny because you got Kyrie and then you got Ben Simmons. You got the guy that can't shoot, passes the ball a lot, and plays defense, right? Ben Simmons, Draymond.
Yeah, but Draymond can make layups again.
Draymond's also a way better defender and actually has a brain. He's not soft.
This
right?
is so a fun. Like, this is a fun stat. Guess what team of the NBA has run the least pick and roll in the NBA this year?
The Warriors?
No. I mean, they're always they're always towards the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the Nets?
Yes.
I mean, is that's actually not that surprising.
I would have guessed like the Nuggets just because they play through, a team that plays through not their point guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's the team that loves to ISO every play, which just makes the Ben Simmons thing funnier because you can see a world in which like you running a pick and roll with him and Kyrie could work him and Kate he could work, but nope, gotta get to your bag at all times, right?
I think they're going to be better. I think they're going to be better than what we've seen, just because I think Ben Simmons he's gotten better.
He's
played more. And it sucks.
It was the first 5-10 games were too sad. I was like, this can't be it for him.
Well, he clearly is still dealing with the back. It is obvious. Like you can watch him when he'll sometimes go up to block a shot. And if he comes down a little weird, like he winces a little bit, like that guy is going through it physically as well as mentally. And so, I think that they're going to be better. I don't believe in the Nets, but I believe in Kevin Durant. And I think Simmons is better.
Well, I think the league would love to see the Nets versus the Warriors get a little KD versus the Warriors, but I'm going to bet against it. Dave, really appreciate you coming on. Have a good one,
man. Good to see you guys. Like, for real. Like, it's been too long.
We'll do it again sometime soon.
Appreciate you, Dave.
Yeah.